Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Lamed Daled in Menachos. We're back on Lamed Gimel. What I'd like to do today is I'd like to finish up Lamed Gimel, obviously. That would be yesterday's daf. And I'd like to get through Lamed Daled up to the part of Tefillin, which is the bottom of the page, Lamed Daled Med Aleph, two dots at the towards the bottom of the page. Get to Tefillin by the end of today. Okay, that's our goal for today. We are in the middle of discussing mezuzah. We're going to be discussing most of today, almost all of today. We're going to talk about placement of mezuzah, where mezuzah belongs. A couple of other halachas will come up today, but basically placement of mezuzah. We are right in the middle of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We talked yesterday about Heker Tzir. Okay, let me review the halach of Heker Tzir because it's going to come up a lot today. In the context of today's Gemara, so it's a fundamental principle. Yesterday we ended off the day discussing a house which has two entrances to the outside, two exits to the outside, and then what the owner of the house did is he divided the house in half. Half of it, he said, is going to be the men's side, and half of it's going to be the women's side. Okay, and Rashi writes, we mentioned this yesterday, women wanted a private area, so good. Okay, good. So he divided it into half. Now there's a wall between the men's side and the women's side, and there's a doorway between the men's side and the women's side. So we know the general halacha is that when you put a mezuzah up, so you put it on the right side going in, right? Derech bia, right? The right side going in. Good. So, but which way are we going? Meaning, are we going from the men's side to the women's side or vice versa? And there's going to be a little bit of traffic between the two, which is considered via, so really the truth of the matter is it's ambiguous. It's really not clear just because there's a doorway between the two, which way is considered derech via, right? This comes up all the time in our homes, right, where we have two rooms and it's really not clear which one is the entrance to which is going into what. Okay, so it comes up a lot. I told you, you bring your rub over to your house, you show them around, and okay. So the Gemara gives us a clue which really doesn't help us nowadays in our house, and that is what's called the Heker Tzir, right? The clue of the Gemara is looking where the socket is. In the good old days when they made doors, so the pivot of the door was not placed on hinges against the walls, but the pivot was in the ground, kind of like when you go to the old saloons, right? I guess we don't really go to the old saloons, but right? you know right? Wish we could go to the old saloons, but the old saloons there'd be a hole in the ground at the bottom, a hole in the ground at the top, and the door would swivel on these pivots. That's what's called Heker Tzir. So
that's the hinges,
right? So that's their hinges.
Yeah.
So now you look basically. In other words, the hinges weren't placed actually in the doorway. The hinges were placed on one of the sides of the doorway. So the Gemara says that's your clue. That you look where the Heker Tzir is. That's considered interior, and the other room is considered exterior. So whichever room has the hole in the ground for that pivot, that's going to be considered the interior room. So you're going into that room. That is the Gemara. That's where pretty much where we ended yesterday. And okay.
Sorry, where the door is swinging in or out is important, or the pivot.
The swinging in and out is not really the issue. It's where the actual pivot is. Which room is the pivot located in?
So you put on that wall, right? Not opposite.
You put it on the right side going into that room. Okay. Reish Galusa Bana Besa. We are in the Gemara in Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the top of the page, and we start now with a story of Reish Galusa. Reish Galusa built a house. Amalei lo Rav Nachman kavalei mezuzta. So he says to Rav Nachman, okay, Rav Nachman, come to my house and and not only tell me where the mezuzas are, but even better, put the mezuzas up. So I'm Rav Nachman Taladasha Bereshe. So Rav Nachman says Taladasha Bereshe. Now, according to Rashi, Taladasha Bereshe means first put the doorpost up. And now, the Rashi over here, I mentioned this at the very end of yesterday's shir. Rashi over here is based on a principle that first doorposts have to go up, then you put the mezuzah, meaning you can't put the mezuzah on the doorpost and then put the doorpost in its place. This is a problem of Tasav Lo Mana Asui. Later this morning, we're going to come back to this idea of Tasav Lo Mana Asui. That's Rashi's pshat over here. Tosis over here on this Gemara has a much simpler pshat. Because if you look at the context, we just got done learning in the Gemara about Heker Tzir, about the concept of the pivot in the doorway. So according to Tosfos, Tali Dasha Bereshe means that what Rav Nachman was saying to Reish Galusa is, when you the doorway is going to the outside that I got. I know what Derech Bia is. But your interior doorways, I don't know which is the entrance to which. So before you ask me to put mezuzahs up, what I want you to do is I want you to put the sockets down in the ground so I know which room is interior to what. That is Tosus's Pshat of the Gemara. It contextually fits them much better. I mentioned the very end of yesterday's shiur, the Rambam is of the opinion that this Gemara is teaching us that in order for a doorway to have a mezuzah, it has to have a door. Right? Without a door, there's no requirement for mezuzah. Shitas the Rambam, the opinion of the Rambam is that a doorway needs a door. Without a door, it does not require a mezuzah and a Torah. I told you at the beginning of the sixth parak, the Rambam says there are 10 conditions that a doorway must meet in order to have a mezuzah. One of the 10 conditions is that it has to have a door. The Rambam learns it from this Gemara over here. I mentioned yesterday that this Rambam is controversial. Many Rishonim disagree, reject the Rambam. The entire source of the Rambam comes from this Gemara right over here. Okay, let's go on. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Also came in Naga Psula. Okay, now, mezuzah. Does it go vertical or does it go horizontal? So we all know the answer. Meaning we all know the answer of what we do. Right? So we do neither. We put it on an angle. We put it on an angle. Okay. Compromise. I know. We'll get to the... So let's just... But let's see the Gemara inside. The Gemara has a very strong position on the matter. The problem is we don't 100% know what the Gemara means. But let's see. I'll show you the Gemara. I'm Rav Asuka Minagar Psula. So according to Rav, if you make it Kiminagar, Nagar is a bolt, right? How they lock the doors back in the good old days, they put a bolt right into the door. So if you make it Kiminagar Psula, that would be possible. Now, according to Rashi, let's start off with Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. That means horizontal. So if you lie the mezuzah down horizontally in a horizontal plane, that's no good, that's possible. So the Gemara says, Ini v'haki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm a kula mezuzah debe Rebbe, kiminagar hava avidin. What do you mean? I went to Rebbe's house, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, and every one of his mezuzahs was kiminagar. It was like horizontal. So the Gemara says, and just another side point, which we're going to come back to in a moment. And Rebbe had an entrance into the Beis Medrash, and he didn't put a mezuzah on that entrance into the Beis Medrash. Okay, on his entrance to the Beis Medrash, I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But right now, we're going to still stick with the vertical horizontal discussion. So the Gemara says, Wakasha hada avida kesichta, hada avida ki istavira. So the Gemara says there are two types of horizontal. There's a horizontal where it's a flat horizontal, that's puzzle, that's disqualified. And then there's Rebbe's horizontal. What does that mean? Ke da'avida ki istavira. So Rashi over here says one of two possibilities. One possibility, says Rashi, is that it was kind of istavira. First of all, what do the words mean? Makom chibur hashok v'aregel. Right? So you know where you go to the bottom of your leg and then it attaches to your foot. So it goes down and then it goes across. It's an L. It's an L bracket. So Rashi says that Rebbe's mezuzah looked like an L bracket. Right? So in other words, it went down and went across. That's the horizontal of Rebbe. So that's not really horizontal. That's an L bracket. How do you get a mezuzah to get the shape of an L bracket? I'm also struggling with that. I don't 100% understand how he got the mezuzah to form the L shape. Either way, okay, however that works, in other words, according to Rashi, a horizontal mezuzah is possible. The vertical mezuzah is really what you're supposed to do. What Rebbe did is he did it in some sort of L fashion. That is Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Quickly, let's go through Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says the exact opposite. Exact opposite. Rabbeinu Tam is grandson. I know it's going to be. It's always, a lot of these gemaras are strange because it's his grandson who's disagreeing. Rabbeinu Tam says that when we say kinagar, we mean vertical. Vertical is disqualified. And then the gemara says, "What about Rebbe? Rebbe did it." Meaning, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's got to be horizontal. Now, Rabbeinu Tam is going to make a statement. I'll show you the statement in just a moment. It's really amazing statements by Rabbeinu Tam, but he says it's got to be horizontal. The mezuzah's got to be on a horizontal plane. And then when the Gemara says, what about Rebbe? Rebbe did a kemin nagar, which means Rebbe did a vertical, and the Gemara says, no, Rebbe didn't do a vertical. He did it on some sort of slant. He did it on some sort of alachzon. So it wasn't vertical, it was on the slant. Okay, that is Rabbeinu Tam's pshat of the Gemara. What comes down now from the Gemara is a really basic machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. How do we put our mezuzahs up? Do we put on a vertical or do we put on a horizontal? Rashi says on a vertical, Rabbi Natan says on a horizontal. So what do? We come to some sort of compromise. But it's, in other words, most, I think the perception is that the compromise is, well, you know, we'll strike a happy medium between the two. There's no such thing as a happy medium, right? Every compromise means both parties are always unhappy, right? That's your general definition of compromise. It means that in the Gemara, you see that Rebbe struck some sort of compromise, meaning Rebbe himself did what the Gemara says you shouldn't do, but then the Gemara says, no, Rebbe did it on some sort of angle, some sort of slant, or according to Rashi, on some sort of L bracket. Meaning, we see in the Gemara already that there's some middle ground of Rebbe. So since we see that there's some middle ground of Rebbe, so that's why we do that. Meaning, we put it on the slant. Okay.
We don't know why Rebbe was able to do the compromise.
Correct. In other words, but we Rebbe set the precedent for us, but you're right. I don't know. I know what that is. Now, here, I want to show you just, it's amazing, some of Rabbi Natan's arguments in terms of how I know that fundamentally the mezuzah should go in the horizontal, not in the vertical. Like, what's the issue over here? And it really touches to some core issues over here. In Tosfos, it's the third Tosfos down on the page, Hadavid Kesichta, Hadavid Kistaver. So he quotes Rashi, Perish Bekuntras, Desichta Psula Shetchuva Besaf Kenaga Shetochim Bekosi Istavira, Makam Chibra Shukvarego Mu'umad Hu Keshera, Vahashta Bein Mu'umad Bein Mushkav Tavar Mikrin Kiminagar. The Kashua Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Natan quotes Rashi and then he says, Rabbi Natan says, I have difficulty with my grandfather's Pshat. De Mu'umad Lav Derech Kavod Hu. That if you leave it in a vertical, that's not covered. Meaning, if I take the mezuzah and I put it upright, that's not derech kavod. Ukvurus chamor karilei ba'amocher peiros. It's the way you bury a donkey, right? Upright, meaning not lying down. The sefer Torah v'lucho sheba'aron mushka v'lo me'umad. And he says, look at a sefer Torah. A sefer Torah and the luchos should be lying down in our aron. Now. Right, correct. Okay, and now the point I'm about to make is going to be obvious, but now look, the luchos, so none of us have seen luchos, right? In the Aron, but we do know the Gemara and Baba Basra is very clear. The luchos were lying down, not upright. They were lying down in the Aron. Rabbi Natan says our Sifrei Torah should be lying down in the Aron. Now, right, I've lived so far not that many years in this world. I've never seen an Aron with the Sifrei Torah lying down, right? In Rabbi Natan's shul, they had the Sifrei Torah lying down. Seems that way, meaning Rabbi Natan is very clear. He quotes the Gemara, which we're going to see a little bit later on. So, and then he quotes Rabbi Natan's pshat, which is the exact opposite. So it's very interesting that according to Rabbi Natan, a lot of the issue in terms of vertical versus horizontal is derech kavod, and he says vertical is not derech kavod, horizontal is derech kavod, and the statement of Rabbi Natan that in his aron, he had the Sifrei Torah lying down, not standing upright. Okay, which is not our minhag.
How could the Rabbi Natan do that though? Because according to Rav, you have to go with the minhag, right? And if he saw his grandfather doing it, standing up, how could he change?
This one's difficult. This one's difficult to explain.
And he grew up having the mezuzah being upright, right?
These are good points. I don't know. And now go to the end of Tosfos over here. We're going to fast forward, right? Really fast forward in Tosfos. We're going to go all the way to the end. Four lines from the bottom of the Tosfos. Hilkach Nira, Bein LePerush Kutshus, Bein LePerush Rabbeinu Tam, DeChistavira DeKshera, Hainu BaAlachson. So now we have a basic machlokus between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says vertical, Rabbeinu Tam says horizontal. So what do I do? So he says that it seems that according to both, there's this middle category, right? Which the Gemara taught us about, which is istaviran. So, and here, right, not like Rashi. Rashi says it's an L bracket. Here, the way Tosfos describes it is that as on a diagonal, lo shochev lo zakuf, Inami kiminun mechza shofcheva mechza zakuf. Tosfos actually suggests both possibilities, either on a diagonal or an L bracket. V'chein perish b'kunches b'loshen acher. Aval shar mezuzah da'ama lav hachi aviran. Ela l'perish rabbeinu tam avim yushav u'l'perish b'kunches me'uman. So in other words, so when you there's this middle category that they both would seem to agree to, and that's why when we put a mezuzah up, we put it up on a diagonal because it's a middle category which both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam would agree to. Last point of Tosfos, which again doesn't seem like we agree with this Rabbeinu Tam argument, but it is interesting. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam say ulamad. Rabbeinu Tam says, and you wanna can I try to prove my point? Why don't you watch the following? The Amaisa b'chol yom k'shasefer Torah omed al abima hakol omdim. Look, when the Sefer Torah is standing upright in shul, what do? We all stand up. U'k'sheshliach tzibur moshivin, and then when the shliach tzibur rests the Sefer Torah on the bima hakol yoshvin, we all sit down. And Rabbi Natan says, so what do you see over here? That when you lay the Sefer Torah down on the bima, it's so to say, it's like settled. It's like the Sefer Torah now is settled, and we can all sit. But when the Sefer Torah is up, so it's, right, we need to be standing as well. It's like, it's as if the Sefer Torah is like, you know, in transit right now. It's not stationary, so therefore you lie down. So again, Rabbi Natan's argument is that horizontal is derech kavod, and vertical is not derech kavod. Okay, so this is the Rabbi Natan argument. Okay, how do your points are very good. How could he fundamentally disagree with his grandfather on these issues? I don't.
What's the Rambam?
It's on his mother's side.
Right.
What's the Rambam?
Huh? What's the Rambam's opinion on vertical versus horizontal? I do not know.
Rambam is vertical.
He also agrees with Rashi.
He had sons.
Okay. I was reading up on my Rambam, but I did not see it. Okay. I'm not sure. All right, anyway, that's the vertical versus horizontal discussion. Let's go back to the Gemara. Let's go on in the Gemara. The compromise is what we should seek. If the doorpost is very thin and you can't get the diagonal, so you should go like Rashi, meaning then you should put it up vertical.
And what is the angle? Is it towards the inside of the house?
That's a good question. It's got to be the head has got to be interior to the house.
The Shema
has got to be interior to the house. That's correct.
Is there anything about when the Sefer Torah is in the Aron to have it leaning a little bit so it's also?
Not that I know of.
But they are.
Okay.
It's already leaning a little bit.
Okay. All right. Next big issue. And that is, remember, Rebbe, there are two things that we said about Rebbe. Number one, his placement of the direction of how he placed the mezuzahs. So again, he did it in some compromised position that we just talked about. And the other thing is that when he had his entrance to the Beis Medrash, he didn't have a mezuzah. First of all, what does that mean, his entrance? So it means that Rashi explains that there's a main entrance to the Beis Medrash, and he didn't want to go in through that entrance, because if he went through that entrance, everyone would have to stand for him, and he didn't want that. He didn't want the cover, he didn't want to bother other people. So therefore, he had his own private entrance. Okay? And what the Gemara just said is that didn't have a mezuzah. The Gemara says, we're continuing in the Gemara, Rav Huna also had his personal entrance into the Beis Medrash, and Rav Huna did have a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, "Ha'u ragil hava." So the Gemara says, "Well, that was an entrance that was used often and frequently." The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the mezuzah halacha charaga. When it comes to mezuzah, look at the main entrance, or the one, not the main entrance, the one that is used more frequently. Okay. It sounds from this Gemara, we're gonna move ahead in the Gemara, but I'll commit to going back to this Gemara a little bit later on this morning. It sounds from this Gemara that if there are multiple entrances into a room, you look at the one that is more frequently used, that's the one that gets the mezuzah. The one that is not frequently used does not get the mezuzah. Okay? We'll come back to that, because that conclusion is not correct. We all know that when you have a room with multiple entrances into the room, every entrance requires a mezuzah. Okay, that's what we do, but we just learned the Gemara that seems to suggest otherwise. I will return to this Gemara. Hajan Allah. Okay. Amar, but here I actually mean it. Amar Zera, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Mitzvah L'Aniach B'Tchila Shlosha Elyon. Okay, in terms of the height of the doorway, so where's the mezuzah going to go? So here the Gemara presents a machlokas. Shmuel's opinion is B'Tchila Shlosha Elyon. So you take your entrance over here, you divide it into thirds, and you go at the bottom of the top third. Mm-hmm. Okay? So in other words, two-thirds up, after you right, you mark it off, measure the doorway, two-thirds up, mark it, and then right above that, that's where the mezuzah should go, that's Shmuel's position. Rav Huna, Amar Magbiya Minakarka, Tefach, Umarchik Minakara, Tefach, V'chola Pesach, Kula Kashla Mezuzah. Then there's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, look, mark off the top Tefach, mark off the bottom Tefach, X those two places out, anywhere else on the entrance of the doorway is acceptable. Okay? So Shmuel's position is at the bottom of the top third. Rav Huna's position is anywhere except for the top Tefach and the bottom Tefach. Meisve, the Gemara says, now they're Amorayim, right? Shmuel and Rav Huna are Amorayim. Meisve, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Magbiya minakarka tefach, umarchik minakara tefach, ulapesach kula kashla, mezuzah div Rav Yehuda. So we have Rav Yehuda's position, which is identical to Rav Huna's position. Then Rav Yossi, Omer, ukshartem uksaftem, look, we say it every day. Right? In the parsha of mezuzah, it's right next to the mitzvah of tefillin. Makshira begova, aftsiva begova. Now where do I put my tefillin? I put it on the very top. Right, Rashi says we put it on our head. We put the tefillin on our head. So just like I put my tefillin on the head, which is the top, so too when I put my mezuzah, hagam, it's going to go on the top as well. Now, bishlam al Rav Huna hu damak Rav Yehuda. Now, when you're Rav Huna, life is good because you're following the position of Rav Yehuda. In other words, you are saying exactly what Rav Yehuda says. You are supported by a Tana. El al Shmuel damak, come on. But Shmuel's position. Shmuel says the bottom of the top third. Right? Mm-hmm. Where was that in the Braisa? That didn't say anything like that in the Braisa. In the Braisa, we made a comparison between tefillin and mezuzah, but doesn't say anything about a third. So the Gemara says, Loka Rabbi Yehuda, Loka Rabbi Yossi. So Amar, Rav Huna Breid, Rav Nasan, La'olam, Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, no. Really, Shmuel falls like the opinion of Rav Yossi. Umay tchila shlish ha'alyon deka amar laharchika shalo laharchika menakara shamala yoser mishlish. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, it means like this. When we say the top third, we don't mean it has to be the bottom of the top third. It means once you get two-thirds up, anywhere above that area is going to be considered a kosher area to write to place the mezuzah, not to write to place the mezuzah. No, not touching, kissing the mezuzah. It's a great minog, but not so mentioned. Not mentioned. We'll get to that. We'll discuss that a little bit. Okay. So, according to Shmuel, now what we're saying is when you go hit the top third of your doorpost, it doesn't mean that you have to place it right there. It means anywhere above that area. That is the Gemara's modified understanding of Shmuel, and Shmuel then agrees with Rabbi Yossi. Okay, one more point on this Gemara, and then we're going to go on, which is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam, right, fuses the two positions together. Right, you look at the Rambam in the sixth parak, and the Rambam writes over there, where should I place the mezuzah? Go two-thirds up, anywhere above two-thirds, but not the top tefach. The Rambam writes, but not the top tefach. Now, right, everyone asks on the Rambam, right, he seems to be confusing the two positions or melding the two positions together. Meaning there's the... Right, in other words, there's the Rav Huna position, which is not the top tefach, not the bottom tefach. There's the Shmuel position, which is anywhere within the top one-third. And the Rambam seems to do is the Rambam seems to be fusing the two positions together. So the base Yosef has really fantastic pshat in the Rambam. When I read the Gemara, right, I said, well, I didn't say it, Rav Yossi said, that what we do is we compared mezuzah to tefillin. And just like tefillin's on the top, so too mezuzah's on the top. Now, when I said tefillin's on the top, what did you think I meant? Well, you didn't have to think, because I told you, we meant the tefillin shel rosh, the tefillin of the head. If you look at Rashi, that's exactly what Rashi says. Rashi says, a makshir a tefillin begova ha rosh, right? Just like the tefillin on the top of the head. Later we'll talk about tefillin. And so that, therefore, once you make that comparison, the tefillin on the highest part of the body, it's on our head. So then you would think that the mezuzah in its comparison could be anywhere, even all the way to the top. The Beis Yosef, in defense of the Rambam, says that's not where the Gemara was going with. The Gemara wasn't comparing it to the tefillin shel Rosh, it was comparing it to the tefillin shel Yad. Oh, that's better. Meaning the tefillin shel Yad now only goes to the arm, but not to the top of the arm. Right? The tefillin shel Yad are placed on the bottom of the upper part of the arm. Kind of like the shlish. In fact, if you put the tefillin all the way up on your arm, that's not kosher. It's got to go on the bottom section of your bicep. Right? Again, we'll discuss that later. If that's the comparison of the Gemara, so then now you understand where the Rambam gets it from. Right? The top tefach is no good, because just like the tefillin, the top part of the arm is no good as well. Okay, defense of the Rambam, beautiful defense of the Rambam by the Beis Yosef. Let's go back to the Gemara. I totally bypassed an issue on the Amud Aleph. I know we're so far behind, but it is worth it's worthwhile discussing. One of the things that the Gemara mentions very frankly is that if you have an opening to the Beis Medrash, so Rebbe's opening didn't have a mezuzah, but why? Because it was a private entrance. Sounds like from the Gemara that any entrance into a Beis Medrash, or for that matter a Beis Knesset, requires a mezuzah, right? Is that correct? Is that true? So much controversy about that issue. The bottom Tosfos on Lamed Gimel Aleph discusses whether a shul and a Beis Medrash require a mezuzah. He points out that it's a machlokas. It points to a number of Gemaras that give conflicting views on this position. Our Gemara over here seems like you do place a mezuzah on the Beis Medrash and on a shul. Our minhag is that we do, right? You look at, go to any Beis Medrash, go to any shul. Our minhag is that we do. Tosfos seems to suggest in his conclusion that it's not actually required. Okay, but we'll go on. We'll go on for now. But just know that that's also an issue.
What about the Rashi and Peyer at the Beis
Malisvar? Right.
That was a big problem with Kosher.
Correct, but I don't know if he was referring to a Beis Medrash as opposed to just simply a house with Svarim.
We do the Beis Medrash without bracha, right?
We do without a bracha, correct.
What about if you just have an archway and no door?
Okay. A lot to discuss, really a lot, so much.
Rabbi, there's no bracha when you fix the
mezuzah? Non-a Beis Medrash. Amar Rava. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we're on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, we're three lines down. Mitzvah laniach b'tefach ha'samach rishos harabim. Okay, so now we talked about the vertical location of the mezuzah, right, top third. Now we're going to talk about the interior versus exterior. Right, let's imagine, all right, this doorway is very narrow. Okay, so this doorway is not a good description, but let's say you have a very wide entrance, right? Rashi yesterday described 4 or 5 tefachim wide. So where's the best placement of the mezuzah? So the Gemara says betefach hasamach l'rishos harabim. Get it as exterior as possible. Remember, we learned this yesterday. It's still got to be inside. It's got to be in the doorpost, but in the doorpost, proximate to the outside, not to the inside. My time, the Gemara is going to give 2 reasons.
The doorpost is 4 tefachim?
If the doorpost is 4 tefachim. The doorpost doesn't have to be 4 tefachim. So my time, Rabbanan Amri Kadei Shiyivka B'mezuzah Miyad. So one explanation of the Gemara is because you want to hit it first, meaning it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah to hit the mezuzah. Okay, so hit the mezuzah, not physically, but meaning you want to be able to encounter the mezuzah first as you walk in, right? So it's almost like Zrizim Akdimah LaMitzvahs. Rav Chanina Mesura Omer Ki Echa De Tintarei More Shmira, right? We talk about this idea, mezuzah provides shmira. So the Gemara mentions it just matter-of-factly a number of times, that there's an element of shmira when it comes to mezuzah. So you want not only the interior of your house to have shmira, but you want your interior of the doorway to have shmira as well. Okay, so that's two reasons why the mezuzah should be exterior, the exterior section of your doorpost. I'm Rabbi Chanina Bar Reish Lo Kimidas Kadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basav Adam. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu in this regard is not like us. Midas Basav Adam Melech Yoshe Mi Bifnim Ve'am Mishamim Moso Mi Bechutz. Human behavior is that the king sits on the inside and he's got his people protecting him. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einu Kein Avad of Yoshvim Mibifnim V'Hu Mishamra Mibachutz. For us, it's the exact opposite. We sit inside the house, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us the Shmira, the protection on the outside. Right, the Pesach is coming up. Right, that was the whole idea of the Karban Pesach, is that you take the blood of the Karban Pesach and you put it on the mashkof and on the Shem mezuzos, and that provided shmirah. It was almost, it's ki'ilu, it's like a mezuzah. I mean, they didn't have mezuzahs back then, but you know, the blood served as almost like the shmirah. Shenemar, Hashem shomrecha, Hashem silcha, yad yiminecha. Darsh Rav Yosef, Rei Rav Mishmei Rav Ehem, Miklat Tefach Psula. So, what if I take the mezuzah and I bang it into the doorpost? A tefach deep into the doorpost. Most mezuzahs couldn't handle that kind of banging. They would fall apart. But in other words, if I even forget banging the mezuzah, let's say I etch out an area into the doorpost and it goes a tefach deep into the doorpost, so it says that's no good, that's pasul. So lema misayele hanicha. So now the Gemara says, okay, that's a halacha that was broadcasted by Rava. Right, whenever you have the words Darsh Rav Yosef, I'm sorry, Rav Yosef. Darsh Rav Yosef, that means, Darsh over here doesn't mean drasha, it means he broadcasted. This is a halacha that he broadcasted to everyone. So, Lema Misayela, the Gemara says, let's support this position based on a braisa. The braisa says, Hinicha bepatzen oshetala alav malbein, im yeshem tefach tzarech mezuzah acheres im lav, ein tzarech mezuzah acheres. From the braisa, it would seem that the braisa basically is saying exactly what we just said. That if I put it into the patsin or the side post, I put it into the side post of tefach, or if I overlay it with a brick, I put a brick over it, and so now it's basically the brick has now become part of the doorpost, and now that means that the mezuzah is into the doorpost by one tefach. So then that's the braisa says it's no good; it's going to be pasul. So imlav ein tzarech mezuzah acheres. Ki tanyahi bepesach she'acharei hadelos. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood the Braisa. The Braisa is not talking about putting the mezuzah into the doorpost. Rather, what's the Braisa talking about? It's talking about achorei hadelos, behind the door. What does that mean? So Rashi over here constructs the following scenario. Let's imagine that you have two doorways that are on a right angle of one another. And they're in the corner. Those two doorways are found in the corner of a house. Okay. How do we view them? Do we view them as two entrances or one entrance? So Rashi writes, it depends on how thick that corner beam is. If that corner beam is the thickness of a tefach, we view them as two doorways, each one requiring their own mezuzah. If we view that doorway as less than a tefach, if that right angle post is less than a tefach, then that whole entrance is viewed as one, and it only requires one mezuzah. So the Gemara says, and so the Gemara says, that's the pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa is not contradicting Rav Yosef, it's just simply not supporting Rav Yosef. The Gemara says, Abayja Ketani La, but all you need to do is read on the Braisa, because then the Braisa illustrates exactly that example. And at this point, the Gemara is thinking, if the second part of the Braisa is discussing it, that means the first part of the Braisa must be discussing something else. The Braisa goes on to say, Pesach Shacharei Adal Sim Yesham Tefach Tzarech Mezuzah Acheres, V'Yom Lavin Tzarech Mezuzah Acheres. So the Gemara answers very simply, Ketzad Ketani. The second part of the Braisa is an explanation of the first part of the Braisa. Okay, next. Tana. Hemila Mabim Shokanim Chotech Tzforferes Umenicham. Okay. If let's say I made my doorpost out of reeds. Hollow reeds. I made a little hut. And I made the doorpost out of reeds. So what do? I cut open one of the reeds and I just simply roll the mezuzah and put it into the doorpost itself. Umenicha. Amarav Acha Berei Derav Aloshan Aloshan Amid Lovasov Chatach. Make sure to first put up the doorpost, then cut out and place the mezuzah in. Here the Gemara says straight out that you cannot put the mezuzah on the reed and then place the reed into the doorpost. That's no good because there's a tasev alomina asui. We find this concept by sukkah. We find this concept by tzitzis. The idea is that first I have to construct the item, and then I put schach on top of it, meaning by sukkah. I first have to make the walls, then put the schach on top of it. I can't lay down schach. I know that's a neat trick, to lay schach when there are no walls. But I can't lay down schach and then build walls around it. That's asui. That has been made already. The schach's been made. Schach's got to be the last thing you put on. Same thing with tzitzis. We'll get to this later on in the Masechta. By tzitzis, I can't tie strings and then cut out four corner garment around it. That's also, that's not taset. I first need the four corner garment, then I make tzitzis on it. I tie tzitzis on it. Here also, first I put the doorpost on, then I put the mezuzah on. Okay, so here's the concept of Tasa Velomana Asui. According to Rashi, this is the second time this concept has come up. According to Rashi, it came up on the Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, Hani Pischei Shamai Peturim Min HaMezuzah. If the entrance of the doorway entrance, if something's wrong with it, Pischei Shamai. We have this word come up elsewhere in the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed, Rashi says, Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the Gemara over there says that if it's a Zaken Shamai, if he's an older person but he behaves in a very cruel and unusual way, so you don't have to stand up for such an elderly person. Okay, that's the Gemara in Kiddushin, so that's the same term, Zaken Shamai. Here, Pischei Shamai. We're not talking about a person, we're talking about an entranceway. Something's wrong with it. It's crooked. So what exactly is wrong with it? My Pischei Shamai Pligi Barav Rechume Ba'aba Yosi. Chanama Delesle Tikra. So one pshat is that it doesn't have a tikra, there's no roof. It's an entrance into a room with no roof. Chanama Delesle Shkufe, or it doesn't have a shkof, a mashkof. So Rashi over here says that could either be referring to a lentil, doesn't have a lentil, or Rashi says it doesn't have doorposts. Okay, one or the other. Anyway, it's unusual, it's crooked, it's bent, doesn't need a mezuzah. Next. Amar Rabba Bar Shilam Rav Chisa Achsadra Peturim Min HaMezuzah Lefisha Ein Lo Pitzimim. I have an Achsadra. Now usually Achsadra we translate as the pavilion. Here Rashi explains it's a house that only has three walls. The fourth wall is totally open. Totally open. So no mezuzah requirement. Okay, it doesn't have a doorway. So the Gemara says, Hayesh la Ptsimim Chayav. So the Gemara says, but what does that mean? On the fourth wall, if it has posts, those posts require mezuzah. Lechizik tikrahu da avide. That's not really doorposts. That's just simply to support the roof. Poles that are used to support the roof are not considered doorposts. Hachikama, the Gemara says, okay, correct. Alpha Pishiesh Lapitsim and Paturm Shainasim Alakhizak Latikra. Correct. If those poles are just there to support the roof, those are not considered doorposts. They do not require mezuzahs. Those big arches that are just used to hold the roof up, those are not considered doorposts. Those don't require mezuzah. Amar Abaye. Chazina Lahu Leisplidi de Beimar de Isle Pitsime Velaislu Mezuzta. The some sort of building structure, right? Rashi just simply says an achsadra, right? Even though they have these posts, they don't have mezuzah. Kesav lechizik tikra hu davide. Okay, good. It's just to support the roof. Meizve the Gemara says I'm going to challenge that based on the following: beishar achsadra umerpesas chayavim b'mezuzah. So the Gemara says we have a brisa, and the brisa says very clearly that of a number of things, including a porch, including a gatehouse, an achsadra does require mezuzah. And we've just spent five lines of Gemara learning that an achsadra does not require mezuzah. So the Gemara says, "Achsadra de Beirav, achsadra de Beirav, ki injuna mal yasehi." We're talking about a pavilion de Beirav, right? Some sort of house used by the Bnei HaYeshiva. The Gemara says it's a regular house. What's a chiddush? Ba'achsadra rumisa. So the Gemara says achsadra rumisa. Rashi explains.
Romans.
If I can find the Rashi, a third wide line down on the page. Ba'achsadra rumisa asuya chalonos v'korin livya'a. And it's got a lot of windows on it. Right, a lot of openings. Might have thought maybe that it's not like a bona fide house. Chiddush is it is a house. Okay, next.
Okay.
doorway do not have, some of the doors are flush to the outside.
Okay, it was coming up. Okay, coming up in the Gemara. Amarach lamar Rav Yehuda bar Hiziki chayav b'shtei mezuzos. Okay, a bay harziki requires two mezuzos. Okay, Gemara says, first of all, what is that? My bay harziki, amar papa sava mishmei de rab beishar hapasuch lechatzer ubatim psuchem lebeishar. It is a beishar, a gatehouse. It's open to the courtyard. It's open to the house. So both entrances, the entrance to the courtyard, the entrance to the house, both require mezuzah. Tana Rabbanan. Beishar pasuch legina ulikitonis. What if I have a guardhouse, almost like an antechamber, if you will, right? I was going to say a foyer, but foyer is not a good example because foyer is interior to the house. We mean actually a structure, an actual structure that is between your house and the garden. Okay? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nidon ke kitonit. V'chachamim omrim, Nidon ke beishar. Okay. What is its main function? Is it for the courtyard or is it for your house? Okay. Now, it seems to be, the Braisa presents to us a machlokes between Rav Yossi versus the Chachamim. Okay. The Gemara says, wait. Rav Ushmul de Ami Tavayu. Migina lebeis kule amalo pligi de chayev. Look. That doorway that goes from the garden to this gatehouse, okay? It's not a foyer. It's actually an independent structure that exists right outside your house. It's connected to your house, but it's got its own roof. It's its own separate structure. The entrance that goes from the garden into this Beit Sha'ar, everybody agrees that it requires a mezuzah. Everybody. This is Rav and Shmuel. My time be at the Baisi. It's the entrance to the house. The entrance to the house requires a mezuzah. Okay? Ki pligi mi bais legina. It's the doorway that goes from the house into the garden. Right? Into this beis achsadra. Masavar kitani yosikar, masavar gina ikar. So, I'm sorry. Ki pligi mi bais legina, the doorway that goes from the house to the gina. Meaning, right, go back to what we talked about the beginning of today's daf, where the pivot is on the outside, not on the inside. If the pivot's on the outside, so that's me by Slagina. So Marsava Kitonia Sikr, Marsava Gina Iker. So now, is this a doorway to the house or is this a doorway to the garden? If it's just a doorway to the garden, it doesn't require mezuzah. If it's a doorway to the house, it does require mezuzah. Okay, that's Rav and Shmuel. If it's going from the house to the gina, which means that the pivot's on the outside, so that everyone agrees doesn't require mezuzah. My time of pischa de gina, because that's just the entrance to the garden. Keep pligam gina la bias, marsavar bia de bias, who marsavar kula adaita de gina hu da avide. If the pivot's on the inside, that's the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi. Just give me one moment. Abai v'rava avde karaba v'rav Yosef v'rav Ashi avde karav Shmuel l'chomra. So the Gemara presents Amorayim taking sides on this issue, and finally the Gemara concludes v'hilchasa karav Shmuel l'chomra. The halacha is going to fall like Rav and Shmuel, which means that even if the pivot's on the inside, everybody agrees that it's for sure going to require mezuzah because it's an entrance into the house. Even if the pivot to the doorway is on the outside, and even though there's a machlokas in the braisa between the Chachamim and Rav Yossi, so the Gemara says the halacha is we're going to be machmir, which means that it's always going to require mezuzah, whether the pivot's on the interior of this of the entrance, or even if it's on the exterior of the entrance, it's both of them are going to require a mezuzah.
Okay. Is that the situation that there's a house, gina, and then Rishul Rabbi?
Yeah.
You have to go to the gina to go to get Rishul Rabbi.
Correct. Okay, itmar. Lu pasuch min abayis la'aliyah. Okay, first floor, second floor. Okay, now there's a stairway to go from the first floor to the second floor, and each people like their privacy. I mean, there's one family downstairs and there's another family upstairs. It wouldn't make a difference if it's the same family, but I'm just painting a picture over here. So the family downstairs says, you know what, we're going to build basically a a little cubicle around the bottom of the stairwell. So that if the people from the upstairs want to come downstairs, they have to go through our doorway. Okay? And you know, sometimes we like to lock the door. Okay. How are they going to get out of the house? That's their issue. A fire exit. Fire escape. They have a fire escape. Let's say that. Actually, I joke, but I don't mean that joke line. Okay, let's say that they have a way to get out. Okay, so they have a... They quartered off the bottom of the stairwell. So, Amar Rav Huna, Im Yesh Pesach Echad Chai B'Mezuzah Achas. Im Yesh Lo Beis Pesachim Chai B'Shtei Mezuzos. Okay, so, if there's only the bottom of the stairwell, has a walls and door around it, so that's going to require mezuzah. If the bottom and the top have doors, so they're both going to require mezuzahs. Okay? Amar Rav Papa Shmami Nami Rav Huna Hai Injuna De Isle Arba Bave Chayav Arba Mezuzahs. If I have a room that has four exits, each one of them is going to require a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? But Tricha Afagav De Rago Bechad. So the Gemara says, no, even if one is being more used than the other, all four of them are going to require mezuzah. Okay, now, can you remember back all the way to the beginning of today's daf? That was a long time ago. Okay, but now, let's go back to the beginning of today's daf. In the beginning of today's daf, we saw Rebbe had his own little entrance into the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara says that Rebbe didn't have a mezuzah over there. And the Gemara says, on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, the beginning of today's daf, why not? I reread the Gemara from what we saw this morning. Right. Lokasha Adavi. No, not that. So, Vahavile Mezuzah Hahu Rago Havadam Rav Yehuda Amarab Mezuzah Halachacha Rago. Rav Huna had a mezuzah up on his little entrance because he used it very frequently. But Rebbe didn't use it that frequently, therefore didn't require mezuzah. Okay. That is the Gemara in Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Now, as we get to the end of today's daf, we're reading that if a room has four entrances and exits, all of them are going to require mezuzah, even though one is used more frequently than the other. Okay? So now, after having sat through the beginning of today's daf, and now the end of today's daf, so you're going to be a little bit confused, meaning it seems that the two gemaras are not working consistent with one another. Rashi addresses this. Rashi gives two explanations. Afagav derago bechad. Rashi, I'm just going to read straight from Rashi. Even though we said in the beginning of today's shir that you follow the one that's used more frequently, that's with two entrances. Two entrances, and one is used and one is not used. So the one that's not used, not at all, because obviously Rebbe used it, but the one that's used less frequently, that gets a pass. Then you realize one is being used and one's not really being used. So okay, so it's two, one out of two. Aval tlasa legabe chad lo batle. However, three, or in our case, when it's three versus one, you can't just simply dismiss one in light of three. Okay, one doesn't become batal in front of three. It's like, if you will, it's almost like the opposite of what we normally assume in the world of bittul, right? Meaning, one out of two, that you can dismiss. One out of four, that you can't dismiss. Okay, but we're talking about entrances and uses of entrances into a house. That's one pshat in Rashi. Lishna achrina, another possibility. Mitshuvas ha-ga'onim, and he says, and I get this from the ga'onim, this explanation. Halacha ha-ragol sha-yaragol sha-bnei adam regilas latzeis v'la-avobo. Ulamute pischa de-rebi she'enu asui ela lo levado. Public versus private. Rebbe's entrance was a private entrance. He and only he used it. That doesn't require mezuzah. However, our Gemara discussing the four entrances, all four of them are public. One's public, so they all require entrances. What about Rav Huna? Rav Huna's entrance was used by others as well. But once I have multiple entrances into a house, Kulan chayav, they're all going to be chayav in mezuzah. That's Rashi's second pshat by the Gaonim. I was thinking, we have almost that exact scenario right here in our shul. Because if you look at the rabbi's office, it's almost like there's a public and there's a private entrance. Right? The public entrance is from the outside. That's where, you know, you have to get through his security. It's top grade security over there. And then he's got that doorway that goes from his office into the main sanctuary. Right. You're not people use it, but essentially it's almost like that. It's almost like a private entrance. According to the Gaonim, again, this is, I'm not saying the halach, we're learning the daf right now. According to the Gaonim, that wouldn't require a mezuzah because that's his quote unquote private entrance. Okay. Okay, you're confusing me with a rabbi. I'm not. We're learning the Gemara right now. I'm just giving Pshat the Gemara, explaining the difference between Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph versus Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. Okay, that's my stated job. Okay, we'll stop over here. I'd like to go further. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph.